Losing your job after years of dedicated service is traumatic. Make sure that you receive the proper notice and financial compensation.
People who come into your office will routinely burst into tears after being let go from a job that they've had for a number of years that they feel as committed to sometimes as they feel to their own family. And then when that gets taken away, inevitably there's a sense of loss. And as their counsel and giving them advice, you have to be compassionate. And it's not hard to feel their pain.
If you've been let go, contact employment lawyer Craig Lewis at employmentlawyermississauga.com.
Man, now all I can think of is the background singers in this. That's what I want to know. Who's singing background in that? Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jory Nash. Did you produce that thing yourself too?
Yep.
Yeah, and the pictures in your everything. Insert. You took those?
Everything except for the picture of me.
What can you not do?
I can't draw. I can't draw a stick man.
No. Like, you were horrible on Etch-A-Sketch.
Absolutely. Couldn't even do a straight line on a toy that all you could do was straight lines.
I couldn't do them either. I just hated that thing, Etch-A-Sketch. Jory Nash, this is your 73rd CD?
It is my 9th recording.
That's what I meant.
In 20 years.
Yeah, that's some hard-working business guy stuff there.
Yes, it is.
11 tracks. I don't want to go on about the artwork on the radio because that's a little useless, but I really, really love everything about this, even the texture of this. Yeah, I'm excited about.
It's the design was done by a designer out of Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Roberta Landreth, and I was taken with her art. She did the cover for a group called the Small Glories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right? That's... So, yes.
And she just did the new Good Lovelies record, which I just...
Oh, yeah.
About. So I contacted one of the Good Lovelies. I said, who did this artwork?
Yeah,
and she put me in touch. And she's amazing to work with. She drew that. I don't know how she did it, but she does it, generates it by hand on the computer.
Yeah.
And, there's lots of things in the drawing that pertain to things on the record.
I want to read a little bit of your bio.
It could be out of date. So
it is out of date. I tried to correct it myself.
Ah.
I was going to say, dude, fix your bio, man. You're too busy making CDs.
I got a 15-month-old kid. It's not a lot that I have time for anymore.
Jory Nash is an award-winning singer-songwriter. Is that still true?
The awards never go away. They just get further in the past.
Nice. And storyteller who blends elements of folk, jazz, blues, pop, and soul into an original stew of sound.
Very tasty stew.
He has recorded 8 critically... Now I'm talking like Ashley Chapman. Right? It's Vice President Chapman's ice cream. He's very eloquent when he delivers his messages. He has recorded 8... Not Ashley Chapman, but Jory Nash has recorded... Well, 8 critically acclaimed albums, but wait for it, and a brand new one just about to drop in July. Is that correct?
That's correct.
See what I did there? I fixed it. Called Wilderness Years. In 2013, his album Little Pilgrim, about John Wayne's kid, was nominated for a Canadian Folk Music Award, otherwise known as a CFMA, for Best Producer. Who was the producer?
You're looking at him.
What is, like, seriously, are you, is it because you're cheap?
Well, no, I co-produce. So I actually have a long-standing relationship with a fellow named Chris Stringer, who we do, he's a great engineer. We met years ago, and so we kind of, he does the engineering, I do the arranging and writing, and we co-produce everything.
Okay.
He's working on the new Rheostatics album as we speak.
What's the squeaking? Who's making that noise? Shauna. In 2009, his 2009 album, New Blue Day, was named Penguin Eggs Magazine Critics' Choice Album of the Year. Dude, you're going to have to help me, because I don't know what the heck you're talking about.
Penguin Eggs is the one and only Canadian national magazine dedicated to folk roots blues music.
Really?
So it's a quarterly publication. It's out of Edmonton, and they do lots of interviews, lots of reviews, and then they contact lots of people in the, you know, people who have radio shows, people who put on festivals, etc. And they do a Critics' Choice poll, and so that record won it there.
Why wouldn't they call that magazine a Mighty Wind?
Penguin Eggs was a record by a British singer-songwriter named Nick Jones, who was really sort of up-and-coming in the late 70s, and he had an accident. And the person who founded the magazine is a huge Nick Jones fan.
All right, fine. Jory Nash also received a CFMA nomination for Blue Day. CFMA nomination for a new Blue Day.
We're going too far back now. It's good. It's all good.
He's also previous winners, blah, 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 and he won this, and he won that, and then he did a little of this. Oh, here's the part I want to get to. You ready?
I'm ready.
Gordon Lightfoot.
That's it. That's all it says in my bio. It just says Gordon Lightfoot.
Well, no, but fill in the blanks, man, because you're known as like the Gordon Lightfoot guy in some circles.
In some, well, so 15, 16 years ago, a good friend of mine named Angus Finnan, who was a singer-songwriter at the time like me, and now he's the executive director of the Folk Alliance International.
Oh, that's where I know his name. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Angus and I, we were sitting in a coffee shop saying, you know what? There's all these tribute CDs. It was the era of the tribute CD.
Right.
There's no Gordon Lightfoot tribute CD. So we decided to make one on the spot. No money, no connections, no nothing. And it quickly fell by the wayside because of all the big names that we contacted their management. They said, we've never heard of you. No.
Okay.
So we're not interested. And then there was, at the time, there actually was a Lightfoot tribute happening that was later put out by Borealis Records. And it was called Beautiful. And it had the Tragically Hip and Blue Rodeo and a whole bunch of great artists.
Who? I don't know them.
And so we just decided, oh, what about a live concert? And Hughes Room in Toronto had just opened. So we approached the then booker, who is a fellow by the name of Holmes. And said, we have this idea for a celebration. We don't want to call it tribute,
no,
but we call it a celebration where we're going to invite, you know, 10 different Canadian roots artists and we're all going to sing Gordon Lightfoot songs. And he said, well, Hughes Room was designed as a original music listening, you know, as we've only ever had original artists doing original music or traditional.
So
artists.
Many no's in your world, Jory.
But he said, you know what, but I trust you, so we're going to try it.
Wow.
And I'll give you the first Saturday in January.
Okay.
You know, a typically dead night.
Yes.
And that was in fall of 2002 for January 2003. So we started planning. And then wouldn't you know it, very soon after we started planning at a concert in Orillia, Gordon Lightfoot had an aneurysm, a stomach aneurysm. And his stomach blew up and he was immediately taken to McMaster.
Was this when his doctor said, don't take another drink?
No, he stopped drinking
a long time
before.
Okay.
No, this was, he would have passed probably long before because of it. But no, his stomach blew up and luckily he was saved, but he was in a coma for 6-7 weeks.
Yeah.
And the press got a hold of our concert and thought it was some kind of response to.
Oh.
And so suddenly tickets sold out and we ended up selling two nights at Hughes Room. We did it in Ottawa with the Ottawa Folk Festival.
It was
just enough to pay the artist a small honorarium.
Yeah.
Valdi flew out from BC at considerable cost to himself to be in the show, more than we were paying him to play in the show. And when it was all done, people were like, you're going to do this again, right? And we thought, well, sure. So the next year we did it again. We changed the lineup, a completely different set of artists. And we just kept doing it year after year. On occasion, we took it on the road to some theaters. We played the Oakville Theater here one time.
Yeah.
And Gordon started coming to the show. And
okay,
first
hold on.
To be in,
hold on. Yeah. I want to get to that first time where Gordon Lightfoot shows up at his own little tributey thing that you have been doing. I want to talk about that. But first, can we do a song?
Sure.
Because you happen to have a musical instrument with you.
I do.
So set it up and let's do a little number.
So I have a new record coming out, as we've talked about, and it's called Wilderness Years.
I didn't even mention the title. Sorry, Wilderness Years, yes.
The title is basically about the fact that there's a lot of things in my life that I feel a little bit like I'm on an island, especially music, and partly musically.
Okay.
The business has changed in ways that have made it way more difficult for independent singer-songwriters like myself to actually make money from making CDs and selling them.
Yeah.
Second thing is that I have a child for the first time, 15 months old, and you don't know me well enough to know that anytime somebody would have asked me in the last 20 years, are you ever going to have children?
No.
I would have said, no.
Yeah.
I'm an artist. That's my focus. But I met somebody that I love very much, and it was important to her.
So she coerced you?
No, we decided, all right, if we're going to do it, it's got to be now because of our advancing ages, etc. So we had a kid, but I wasn't ready.
Right.
Not that I wasn't present and not that I haven't done my share, but I wasn't emotionally ready.
Yeah.
And how I felt as an artist in the first 3-4 months as a, you know, as a new dad, they just didn't jive together. And so it took me probably 6 months to get my head in the game.
Yeah.
So taking that, you don't have as much time to be promoting your own career, and I wasn't even sure if I'd ever write again, etc. So that's what elements of the record are about. Having a new kid, having a kid with the right person, but what does it do with a career in a business that is increasingly difficult to make work? So the song that we played, Dark Matter, on that's basically that touches on all of that.
Wow.
This one is simply a tongue-in-cheek song about the state of the record business and how it pertains to sort of self-acclaimed folkies like me.
Beautiful.
So it's called Sister Station. You won't hear me on the radio. You won't hear me on the radio. You won't find me at the new location. You won't hear me on the sister station. You won't hear me even if you request call. You won't hear me on the radio, not at all. You won't see me on the TV. You won't see me on the TV. Can't awake for the early morning talk show. And I don't have a high class video. I don't look so good at the end of the day. You won't see me on my TV anyway. Well, the only thing that's left I fear is to write this song that no one will hear. I can't say that it's a parting shot, cause I don't think I could, even if I wanted to stop. No, you can't buy my brand new CD. No, you can't buy my brand new CD. I can't afford to record all the new songs, and to put them on the Spotify feels wrong. Everybody wants music for free, so you ain't gonna buy my brand new CD. You won't hear me on the radio. You won't hear me on the radio. Cares about a washed up folk singer, even if he's a Paul Simon dead ringer. Now you can play with your top 10 toys, but you ain't gonna hear me on the radio, not this boy. You can play with your top 10 toys, but you ain't gonna hear me on the radio, not this boy, not this boy, not this boy.
Jory Nash on the Drew Marshall Show. Well done, buddy. Well done. I am I'm a big fan of that song. I like the cheek.
Thank you.
And the tongue. I thought you were all going to break into a little Buddy Holly there for a minute.
I was kind of going for, I don't know, a little bit of little Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska. There's a tune on Nebraska called "Open All Night" that
right.
has that kind of vibe. And yeah, kind of going on the record. On the record is a little more. There's obviously more people on it, but we were kind of going for a retro-ish 50 kind
it's
of.
It's great,
50s
man. What a good track. I love that. Now, when I hear that on the album, on the album.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I repeated that. What am I going to hear?
You're going to hear a whole on that track. Many of the people. There's actually 16 different musicians on the record.
What? But see, this core... is. Hold on. No, stop for a second. Why are you so? Everyone knows you, man. Everyone knows you, and everyone likes you. What
Thank
is
you.
There's no? You're paying people.
Well, of course, musicians deserve a working wage. So we. And I'd love to pay people more, but I have a set fee, and we negotiate up front. And
but everyone likes you. There's got to be some dirt on you somewhere.
Oh.
You're not like the Pinball Clemens of the folk industry.
Well, I'm very neurotic in private.
Are you?
Ask my partner.
Oh, yeah?
She, you know, just, you know, like anything. Like many artists, I was talking with one of the people who sings on the record is O Susanna, and we were just texting yesterday, and we were just talking about the fact that we're both performers and love performing, but inside at the root, we're both extreme introverts.
Yeah.
When you're on stage you're in front of people, you're at your most confident. But take me off the stage and put me in social settings and I can clam right up. I didn't, you know, when I came in here, you probably didn't hear me say anything because I'm kind of, takes me 5-10 minutes to get comfortable in a situation.
What's your Lori Cullen connection?
I got my start playing at the Free Times Cafe in Toronto. There's an open stage that happened every Monday night, and Lori Cullen started coming around the same time I did, and we just became friends. And at some point, we both hosted the open stage. Like I would do 1 week, she would do another. And right from the get go, I mean, she's an amazing writer, mm-hmm. singer, arranger.
Yeah.
And so, the only record she's ever not been on is my very first one. So she's been on 8 records, and she's on one of the tracks on this one where she took one of the songs that did this beautiful sort of multi-layered vocal arrangement of her stuff.
Does she reciprocate? Does she invite you under her stuff? Or is it a one-way relationship,
Jory?
She
has recorded 2 of my songs on her recordings. So she's done them up and done her thing. Yeah.
She's everything I've heard about Lori Cullen is the same kind of stuff I've heard about you.
Yeah, well, she's amazing. She's actually singing at our show in Toronto on the 16th. She's going to be a special guest.
Jory Nash will be performing at Hughes Room Live on June 16th, along with his killer band, Jason Fowler and Dean Drouillard, or Drouillard on guitars, Robbie Grunwald on piano and keys, Devon Henderson on bass, Gary Craig on drums, and Lori Cullen on harmony vocals. Mm-hmm. June 16th, Hughes Room Live. Good for them for resurrecting.
Yeah,
from the
it's
ashes.
A great group of people. It's not for profit now, and the mismanagement has been the people responsible for the mismanagement are no longer involved, and the people who are have a really clear vision, and it's great because it's a beautiful listening room.
Yeah, it is a great. I'd say one of the best listening rooms I've been. It compares actually to the basement in Sydney, Australia. Great room.
I thought you were going to say the basement in Saskatoon, because there is one.
Really?
Yeah, it's a good room, too.
Like your mom's?
No, it is a basement, but it's a beautiful room.
Really?
Yeah, jazz and folk, about 150-seater.
So you're doing these Gordon Lightfoot shows.
Yep.
Different people are singing Gordon Lightfoot songs,
yep.
and all of a sudden, he's there.
Yeah, I got a call somewhere on year 5 or 6. It was actually the last year that Angus was involved with it, and it was Gord's manager at the time, and he said, Gord's heard about this this tribute, and he wants to come see it, but, you know, don't tell anybody he's coming. It's got to be secret, so we'll get there right as the show starts.
Could you keep it a secret?
I told the artists, but not people in the audience.
Okay.
So Gordon came in, and he was waiting outside in his car, and the show started, and under cover of darkness, we took Gordon and his manager to this table. And it's not, you know, I've never met the man, I don't know what he's... The artist, it's not... We're doing straight-up versions. You know, there's jazz artists, blues. There's, yeah. People are going to take the songs and go in whatever direction they
want. And he knew that, right?
I don't know if he knew it. I didn't speak to him. I don't know. I didn't know anything other than... I hadn't had any conversation with him. So now I'm... Is Gord going to like it? You know, so Gord's watching the show, and I'm watching Gord. Now, I realize very quickly that if Gordon Lightfoot likes something, he claps like a normal person, puts his hands in front and claps. If he really likes something, his hands go above his head.
Wow.
And I had a group.
It's kind of like a seal.
The third artist that particular year was a group called Cadence. They're a four-man a cappella sort of vocalese group, right? And they were doing the Canadian Railroad Trilogy. Four-man a cappella version. So different from what Gordon recorded. So I'm like, what if he doesn't like it? But the first person, when they finished, the first person to jump up and give a standing ovation was Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah.
Because he just loved it. So I was very, very relieved, right? So he's loving it. I'm relieved. Everybody's having a good time. Now, it's near the end of the first set. I'm closing the first set. There's like 7 acts. It's a long show. Everybody does 2 songs and 7 artists in each set. And so I'm getting ready to go on, and the owner of Hughes Room comes up and said, Gord seems to be having a good time. Gordon's manager said that Gord wants to do a tune.
No.
So he didn't bring a guitar, so he's got to borrow somebody's guitar. So I played my 2 tunes, and I had the honor and the privilege of introducing Gordon Lightfoot at his own tribute, and I lent him the guitar I have.
Did he play that one?
He did, and he hated it. I could see, like, you know, I connected my guitar, but I could see he was making, you know, it went out of tune for him. It's his, he played Song for Winter's Night.
Oh, beautiful song.
And he got a standing ovation, but I could tell he and my guitar just didn't speak the same language. Yeah. So the show ended, that was it, never heard anything. But the following year, on the Saturday night show, he came back, unannounced, with his own guitar in hand, ready to go. So again, I put him on at the end of the first set because nobody wants to follow Gordon Lightfoot.
No.
You have to either put him on at the end of the show or at the end. And so Dan Hill was the original closer of the first set. So
I'm sorry, Dan Hill?
Yes, Dan Hill. The number of the people who have been in the show over the years is amazing. So Dan Hill did his 2 songs, and then Gord came on and did his 2 songs.
Did Dan Hill happen to tell the story the first time that he and Gordon Lightfoot touched? No.
But the funny thing is that everybody gets 2 songs, right? Because it's a long show and very egalitarian kind of philosophy. But Gordon did his 2 songs, and then he kind of looked out at the room and gave a smile, and he launched into a 3rd tune just to show everybody who the alpha dog is.
You know, who is in charge. Yeah.
And then what was great was he was very gracious, and he would stay, and he posed for hundreds of pictures with every artist.
Did he smile?
He's great. He would go up to the artist and say, you did a great job. And he would then call me up. He would actually call me up later and say, you know what, Jory, it was a great show, but, you know, you did the trilogy, a middle section, bit two clicks too slow. So you got to tighten that up. And next year, you know, it's the 10th anniversary. We're going to have to do something special.
Oh, that's
he would say,
funny.
You know, and I always tend to put him on after the you know, at the end of the first set. He says, you know, I don't have to be the closer, Jory. I don't have to. He's very gracious.
Yeah.
And year in the wake of Hughes Room closing.
Yeah.
And then I didn't do it last year, even though they reopened. I wasn't ready to do it there until I got the lay of the land with the ownership or the people running the place. So it wasn't going to happen. But John McDermott, who had been a guest in the very first year, said, I've got a charity and we do shows at the Glenn Gould Theater in CBC. Let's do this as part of it. So last October, we did a one-night special event, gala show. The Royal Canadian Geographic Society wanted to give Gord a lifetime kind of
a gold award.
So they came down and did it at the show. Wow. And Gord came to that and talked and did If You Could Read My Mind. And it's quite amazing. And again, he's just so gracious with artists. And
Jory, stop talking about Gordon Lightfoot.
Why? You asked me.
I know, but this is about you. Said, you're a Canadian artist who is spending...
Can somebody hit rewind on this interview where Drew said...
Tell me about Gordon
Lightfoot. Gordon Lightfoot. I gotta know. Tell me. All of just Gordon Lightfoot. Go.
Okay.
I'm paraphrasing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jory Nash is here in the studio, jorynash.com. His new release, Wilderness Years, will drop, as the kids say. When?
Officially July 10th, but you can pre-order it through my website.
This is a very clean and easy to listen to album.
Thank you.
Very easy to listen to.
Except for the darker moments.
No, but that's what I love. You got to look into the Enneagram, man. Enneagram. Personality type number 4. Just thought I'd throw that out. All right, what song are you doing?
I'm going to do one of the darker ones.
Oh, beautiful. Says the guy who grew up in a funeral home.
Ha.
What's this one about?
This is called, well, so when we were pregnant, my partner, who loves beer.
Yeah.
And actually she and her friends, one of her very best friends is one of the founders of the Society of Beer Drinking Ladies, which is an increasingly huge bunch of women, hundreds who put on events. And it's just for women who love beer. And it's great. So when you're pregnant, you can't be drinking beer.
No.
And there were just so many times where she was so stressed out and uncomfortable. She says, I want a beer.
Yeah.
And
a little
light went off in my head. No, Guinness is fine at the end to help get the baby out.
Oh, is that it?
It shouldn't be. It's like a lubricant, but it's not something.
Where is she putting the beer?
It's not something. No, it goes down you get it. But it no, you shouldn't be drinking beer. So I just thought, oh, that's it. It's a little light went off, and I thought the title came to this. And it's not about her, but it sort of came from that. So it's called "She Gets Her Courage from Alcohol."
I love it. Such a great Eve. I like you, Jory Nash on the Drew Marshall Show.
Today is a lonely day. Woke up, it just went that way. Another day that started small. And she gets her courage from alcohol. She gets her courage from alcohol. Now one of the things I do when I'm down, I'm feeling blue, I poke a pin in a voodoo doll. But she gets her courage from alcohol. She gets her courage from alcohol. Wrote it down like they said I should. Press my luck in a knock on wood. Still a phantom climbing walls. And she gets her courage from alcohol. She gets her courage from alcohol.
Hey, hey, I wanna know the way you hide what you know. I wish I was binary, none or one, A or B. A system built to uninstall. She gets her courage from alcohol. She gets her courage from alcohol. She gets her courage from alcohol. She gets her courage from alcohol.
So beautiful. Really well done. I love that song. Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb and say something ridiculously positive. It's very unlike me. You're better. It just sounded like it used to be crap. You've hit some kind of sweet spot, man.
Thanks.
You really have. I don't know if you feel it or if anyone else has pointed this out to you, but, you know, I've listened to your music for a whole lot of years, and you're in a sweet spot.
Thanks. Just when it's almost impossible to make it work as a musician anymore, you know. But...
That's the definition of folk.
You know, I don't know. I hear that sometimes. I listen back and I know what I'm going for. I know what I want. I know where I think I didn't quite achieve what I wanted. And Joni Mitchell once, somebody said to her, said, you know, I really loved it, but you've put out some bad records. And she said, no, I haven't. She said, yeah, this, you know, obviously this is a stronger, you know, Blue is a stronger record than Dog Meat Dog. She says, well, you just don't understand it. You're not getting it if you think, you know, she absolutely believes there's no difference in quality. You know, they're just songs.
Yeah.
That, because something that resonates with you may not with somebody else. And for them, this could be the weakest record. You know, the record that I'm given, you know, that we're giving away.
Yeah.
Among my fan base, it's probably the most polarizing record. I tend to get people say that's their favorite or it's their least favorite.
It's because of the hockey sticks.
Well, the hockey sticks are actually, that was the year 2002 that the Canada won gold for the first time. So I had no idea for the cover at the time what to do. So I just threw up as a sort of a secret reference to Canada winning gold at Salt Lake.
Nice.
That's it. It's a terrible cover. It's one of my least favorite covers.
It is a terrible cover.
It's not a good looking record. And I didn't use the designer again. But it's a record that
there's a designer.
People really like or don't among my fan base. So what does that tell you? Is it a good record or is it not a good record? It just tells you that people hear different things. I appreciate that compliment. It's a really nice thing to say. But for me, I'm just doing what I've always been doing. Maybe there's a refinement in some ways. Certainly, production-wise, there's things going on this record that I'm happy with that I haven't been happy with in other records.
Well, I concur again. I love that word today for some reason. And I'm going to say something else. You've got a kid now.
Yes.
That's going to have some kind of impact on you soon, if not already.
It just means I don't write as much. I don't play as much. I don't have as much time to
hustle. No, I mean it's going to flesh out stuff inside of you that's been locked down. Kids do that, man.
Right? It's called snot. I'm constantly got a cold. I have a cold right now.
Yeah.
Or the end of a cold because kids are...
And
Jason Fowler told me that.
He said it's a boy? Your kid's a boy?
It's a boy. He's a boy named Jasper.
Okay. You could write a song and dedicate it to him and call it The Booger Man.
The Booger
Man. See, I'm not in the industry.
I'm your booger man.
Oh, man. In the studio with Jory Nash, who was here 37 years ago on the Drew Marshall Show. JoryNash.com is the website. He is going to be performing at Hughes Room Live, HughesRoomLive.com, on June 16th, along with this killer band and backup harmony vocals and all that kind of stuff. Lori Cullen will be joining him. And his CD that I have in my hands, we're going to go out with a track at the end here with Jory Nash. The CD is called Wilderness Years. But he's going to perform one more little ditty for us before we say goodbye. And I guess what I want to know, Jory, is can you just give me a little taste? Just a taste.
Of Chapman's Ice Cream?
Of Canadian Railroad Trilogy. Just a taste.
There was a time is spent in the murder of London, and the wild majestic mountains still hung against the sun. Long before the white man, long for the weed, and the green dark forest was too silent to be weed.
All right, no more, you're killing me. Killing me.
Well, I'll come to Hughes Room in January. We're going to do the tribute there one more time.
Oh, beautiful.
So it's going to be a big celebration.
Good. All right. Go out with your last tune, Jory.
It's called The Book of Landings.
Poor Robert was always the most curious boy. He sailed the coast in a pirate ship called the Ghost of War. And they say he found some buried treasure, but the sea lost it with equal measure when the Spanish set that ship to ocean bottom. And it may be curt, maybe demanding, but I don't want to miss it. I'll start getting hang on up some country in the book of landing. Now Juliet was a parachutist, a calmest, a baby Buddhist. Well, she did the belly down and she was floating. Ah, but every jump has a bit of danger, and the last time up start banging on some country in the book of landing. When the world slides to the other side, keep on alright. When the world slides to the other side, keep on alright. Now I was born decision. Small, small worlds to get in smaller. But the one thing I could plainly see that it was a joke and a mystery was a future full of emptiness and squalor. And it may be curt, may be demanding, but I don't want no misunderstanding. I ain't got some entry in the book of landings. No, it may be curt, may be demanding, but I don't want no misunderstanding. I ain't got some entry in the book of landing.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Jory Nash on the Drew Marshall Show.
Thank you, dear.
Pleasure having you back.
Oh, nice to be here.
Such
Thank
a
you.
Pleasure, young man.
Thank you for having me.
I wish you the best. I hope you get a standing room only kind of a thing happening. Jory Nash will be performing at Hughes Room Live on June 16th along with his killer band. And of course, Laurie Cullen on harmony vocals at Hughes Room on June 16th. Hughes Room Live. Sorry, it's a new name. In the CD that's going to be released very, very soon, go to the website, pre-order it, creep on them, follow them on social media and all that stuff. You'll find out when it's going to drop. Wilderness Years, and it's in my hand right now. We're going to go out with another track. See, Shauna, is that true?
Yes.
All right. Beautiful. Jory?
Yes, sir.
Have a lovely summer.
Will do. Thank you.
Take care. Pleasure. Jory Nash on the Drew Marshall Show.